I want to open your Bibles up to the book of Titus, chapter number 3. I'm going to start reading at verse number 1 and read on down through verse number 7, and we'll get to preaching. The Bible says this: put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I want to preach on this thought this evening. That was us, but... let us pray. Lord, we come to you. We're thankful to be here. God, I pray that you'll just give me unction to preach, Lord. I pray you'll anoint us. God, I pray that you'll just, if there's one listening today that's lost, God, I pray they'll be born again. I pray you'll help us and strengthen us. May all glory, honor, and praise go to thee. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been preaching through the book of Titus, we come to chapter 3. And Paul in chapter 2, who spent a lot of time addressing the conduct of believers in regards to each other, is now exhorting Titus to exhort believers in their conduct to other people. In verse 1, he was saying that the believers should obey the governments. Believers ought to be law-abiding citizens. This truth is also mentioned by Paul in Romans 13. Now, this truth does have an exception when our governments create laws that require the believer to disobey the Bible, but the believers ought to be an example of law-abiding citizens. And then Paul moves on then to believers and their conduct with others and the lost. And as we see there in verse 2, he addresses the believer's actions, but he also addresses his attitude towards others. If you notice that he instructs the believer in his actions regarding his tongue towards others, can I say that one of the greatest weapons, one of the greatest dangers that lie is not in some military weapon or not in some bomb, but it's in the mouths of people. The tongue can do great damage, and may I say this, the tongue can do great damage to the testimony and the cause of Christ. When a believer uses his tongue in a way that dishonors Christ and dishonors the Bible, it presents a testimony that's not good and tasteful into the hearts of an unbeliever. And Paul's addressing that here, and he says to speak evil of no man, and he says that means don't speak in a slanderous way or to injure others, but he's exhorting us that we ought to speak truth. And can I say something to you? We can speak the truth, and though that may offend someone or hurt someone, when we're doing it in love, it's a lot different than when we're doing to injure someone or slander someone's character down. There's a difference Paul is saying there, but he also says that we ought not to be brawlers, but to be gentle. He's saying that we ought not be quarrelsome people or contentious people. And you know, when you get around someone like that, you just don't want to be around them. Someone that wants to fight, someone that wants to quarrel, someone that wants to be contentious. And he's telling believers, he said, listen, that ain't the way we ought to be with other people. He said, but we ought to be gentle. And I think about gentle, I think of the way you handle a baby. I think about how we carry Mariah and how we are gentle with the baby. And everything we do, sometimes we got to tell Micah, we say, Micah, you got to be gentle when you're playing with sis. You got to be gentle. Well, that's the same way we ought to be with the lost world. Is we ought not be contentious and quarrelsome brawlers like that, but we ought to be gentle with them. And Paul's getting ready to show us why. But then he says, listen, he said, the reason that we ought to be this way is because we were just like them. That is who we were. That was us. He said, he was saying, look here, that is who we were. We were in the same condition. And I want you to notice today as we get to verse number 3, we see we all had a past that was condemned. He said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Do you realize this verse describes every person before they were saved? Paul writes a description of the unsaved. He says that, hey, the unsaved, the natural man, he says they're foolish. You say, well, you could take this offensive if you want to, but you are foolish if you're lost, because you're unwise about spiritual matters. People are foolish before they're saved because they believe in that which seems right to their own thinking and not that which is right according to the Word of God. Paul says that we were sometimes foolish. He then says we were sometimes, and that sometimes doesn't mean hit or miss. It means, hey, we were foolish, we were disobedient. Hey, they were disobedient to the Word of God. The unsaved, they did not align themselves with the truth of God's Word. And can I say something to you? Man lives a natural, the natural man is in rebellion. It's in a enmity with God. It's contrary to God's laws and God's words and God's command. And Paul says, that's how we were. He says you were deceived. And I can say you were deceived by the devil, because 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 says that the god of this world hath blinded them. Listen, the devil plays a part in the deception. He plays a part in this. He tries to keep people from getting saved. He doesn't want people to be born again, because that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And people are deceived by the devil. They'll believe all kinds of lies. But listen, friend, we're not only deceived by the devil, but we're deceived by one of our worst enemies, and that's our self. I mean, we believe ourselves. Man is full of pride. Man wants to do it. Man has always tried to do what he wanted to do. He tries to fix things, correct things. He takes pride in that. And listen, that's a deception. Many people are in hell today because they were deceived by the pride of self, thinking they could save themselves. They've done enough. They could do enough. Listen, friends, I'm telling you, we were deceived. Not only were we deceived, but we were servants. Servants to divers lusts and pleasures. Now, divers means various, of different kinds. What that means was, a lot of people say that you know, they can do things, they got control over it, but the Bible tells us that we're in control by something else. We're serving lust of the flesh. We're serving pleasures that make this flesh feel good. And I'm saying, listen here, we're in chains to certain things. People are locked up. You say, well, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that, but can I say something to you? There's something that has got a hold of you. There's something that you're serving. Hey, there's some type of lust in your life, or some type of pleasure that you're going after. That's the way Paul describes man. And he says, not only that, but he said, while you're living this way, you're living in malice and envy. Malice is an extreme enmity of heart. I mean, Paul's saying that before, this is who every church member was. Every person that's been born again was this before. And if you're lost, this is you today. You're just a description of the lost man. And it all goes back to the heart of man. I mean, all of these at the end, they are things of the heart. Malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Those are things that's concealed inside. Though they may never see it on the outside, there's just a hate inside of man. There's an enviness. And the Bible describes the heart of man. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you realize that one of the worst things you can ever do is follow your heart? The Bible says the heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. Can I say something to you? The Lord, listen to me, the Lord tells us exactly who we are in the Word of God. In Ephesians 2, he describes us and says, those who are dead in sins and trespasses, They walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and this is every man without Christ. Verse number 3 is every man without Christ and every believer before Christ had a past that was condemned like this. This is how we lived. And what Paul is getting to, he says, listen, the way that we conduct ourselves in society and the way we conduct ourselves with other people, listen, the reason we ought to be meek, we ought not be prideful, we ought not be contentious, we ought not say evil things of people. And listen, there's all kinds of things out there that's going on in bad. But Paul said, listen, that's who we were. But this is where it gets real good. But in verse number 4, everything changes. He says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. The first word of verse 4 is a three-letter word that's very powerful, and it's the word but. And what it means is, it means that it changes direction. It goes the opposite way. It is contrary to what was previously been said. And Paul was saying, listen, we were foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived, we were serving lusts and pleasures, we had hate and envy and malice in our heart. And he said, but something. And it wasn't just a something, it was a someone. We find there was a past that was condemned, but we find in verse 4 there was a person that cared. And we, friends, listen, Paul is talking about in the midst of who we was, hey, there was Jesus who cared for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Paul wrote this, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Hey, it was one day. There may have been a preacher preaching. You may have got a tract by someone. Someone may have witnessed to you their testimony, but it was in the gospel message that we found the person that cared for us, and He made an eternal change in our lives. In the midst of how we were living, you know what's amazing is He loved us. Even while we were dead in sins. The Bible said in Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commendeth means displayed or exhibited. There's somewhere in the Scriptures that says this thing was not done in a corner. Can I tell you that Calvary was an open place? Anybody could have went there and beheld that. And what we were not there physically, but we read back on the truth of the gospel and the truth of the Word of God, and we find there that, listen, it was on Calvary. Hey, it was there on that old rugged cross that God said, this is how much that I love you. This is how much that I care for you, that I'm willing to give my only begotten Son. Hey, and listen, God didn't do it when we were at our best, but God has done it when we were at our worst. Hey, listen, man, hey, man, you may, sir, man may not be, hey, as bad as you can be, but you're bad off as you can be. The potential of evil, hey, is unbelievable in the heart of man because it's deceitful and desperately wicked. But yet in that state, we find that Christ died for us. You're talking about someone caring. I think care is displayed a lot of times. We think someone cares. It's easy to care for someone who is nice to us and who's good to us. I mean, it's easy to care for someone who will repay us or someone that appreciates us. You know, a lot of times we'll stop doing something for someone just because we think they don't appreciate it or they don't say say something to us the way we ought to think that, hey, they appreciate this. But do you realize that in the midst of us being as bad off as we can be and oftentimes as bad as we could be, I mean, foolish, rebellious, the worst that we could be, that Christ died for our sins. Hey, friends, someone cared for you, and it all changed. Hey, it all changed when you met Jesus. Not only did He love you when you were unlovable and love me when I was unlovable, but being lost, He sought to save us. The Bible said in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the midst of our foolishness, in the midst of our disobedience, in the midst of our hatefulness, Paul said it all changed when we met him. When we were disobedient to him, you know what God showed us? He showed us kindness. That's what the scripture says. It says that the kindness and love of God appeared. I mean, when we were in rebellion to his laws, to his word, when we turned our nose up to God and said we wanted no part of it by the way we were living, you know what God extended us? He extended us kindness. When we were full of hate and malice, you know what God showed us? He showed us love. Paul was saying not only the course of our life was changed when we met Jesus, but our eternity was changed when we met Jesus. Can I say something to you? It's good for people to go to church, but being a church member doesn't save you. That's not what this bud is about. Can I say something to you? It's good for you to get baptized after you get saved. It's believer's baptism, but that doesn't save you. There's a lot of things in this world that people are trusting in that are trying to get them salvation. They're trying to make that the bud in their life, but can I say something to you? Listen, the course don't change. No matter how religious you are, no matter how wet you got, no matter how many cards you sign, the course of your life don't change until you meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Until by faith, hey, by grace are you saved through faith. Listen, Paul was saying that Paul was a religious man. You read in Philippians, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I mean, he took it to another level. When Paul was saved, he was on his way to put Christians in jail for serving Christ. Paul was as religious as could be, but you know what Paul found out on the road to Damascus? Religion couldn't save him. His experience of salvation, listen, it wasn't, Paul was as religious as they come. I think about Nicodemus. He was a master in Israel. He was a teacher of all teachers. And he came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said, listen, you're all these great things, but let me tell you something, Nicodemus. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. There had to be a difference, and the difference is not a thing, but it's a person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verse 3 there was a past that was condemned. In verse 4 there was a person that cared. In verse 5 there's a power that changes. Now notice what Paul said about this. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The change of life that results from salvation in the believer was not of works which we have done. We got to realize this. There are many people who have this. They do not go to the Bible to find out what the Bible says. This has maybe been passed on or lies spread of the devil. They weigh themselves in a balance. I've done more good, moral good than I've done evil. They try to be so religious that they try to have the more righteousness of that of the scribes and the Pharisees, which can't save you, by the way. But they try to be as righteous as they can and all these things. And what the Bible's clearly stating right here, that it states all the way through, listen, from the beginning to the end, for by grace are you saved through faith. We find that it's not by works of righteousness. You cannot work your way into heaven. You can't live good enough. You can't buy it. There's nothing you can do. But how do we get saved? How does a man that used to live this way, how does life get changed? When he meets Jesus, and listen, by faith he trusts him, and with a repentant heart, you know what happened? But according to his mercy. Hey, when we deserve judgment, God extends mercy. And God, by his grace, listen, he saves us. This change was Paul was describing was not a man reforming his old man, but God birthing a new man.
2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Can I say something to you? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our works, they'll never add up. We owe a debt we could never pay. There's not enough. Yeah, I mean, listen, if you even think you're good enough to try to work your way into heaven, there's enough pride in your heart that'll keep you from that place. I mean, listen to me, friend. Listen, we can't get our way in, but there's a power that can alter our lives. And listen, it's not about reforming who he was, but Christ is in the new creature business. He's about birthing people into his family. I want you to notice something today. Salvation is a power of God. It's a work of God. No man can save himself, but only Jesus can. The believer went from living foolishly, disobediently, chained to lust and pleasures, hateful to others, to being saved with an abundant salvation, being sealed with his Spirit, and made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When you read what verses 5, 6, and 7, there's no part in them that man could ever produce on his own, that man could ever work, that man could ever do. The Bible is literally teaching us, all the way through the Bible is, listen, man had become evil. Hey, man got a deceitful heart when Adam sinned in the garden, and since then, every single one of us has been rotten to the core. We've been the exact same way, and here we find that the Bible is teaching us that, listen, though we're rotten, though we're sinful, though we're in rebellion, hey, that Christ died for us and is willing to save us and will change us and change our eternity if we'll trust him by faith. That's the only way we get in. This could never be worked by man, bought by man, or produced by man, but is a divine work by the power of God. And you listening here today, tonight, maybe you realize that as Paul describes the condition of the lost, you see yourself this way. I find great hope in these scriptures. As bad off as man is, you see how much God loves you and God cares for you. He went to such an extent to save you that he gave his only life's blood on the cross at a place called Calvary. A salvation so great, it not only changes your eternal destination, but your life here and now. In the midst of man's rebellion and sinful nature, the Lord has extended to you today kindness, mercy, and grace. And if you're willing with a repentant heart and willing to call on the Lord Jesus, you can receive salvation. And can I encourage you by saying what Paul described in verse number 3, that's who I was. And what the body of Christ was before we met Christ. And I'm telling you, friends, today that there's someone that cares for you in your current condition. If you'll look to the Bible and agree with God that he's right, and understand that you are exactly as God says you are, as the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you'll realize you're lost and realize that, hey, the wages of sin is death, you're on your way to a devil's hell to pay a payment that you can't pay. But if you'll realize these things and you'll realize, hey, that Christ died for our sins. Hey, when he says, oh, that means, hey, the potential is everybody can be saved. Do you know that? There's not just certain people that get saved. And certain people that don't. Everybody can be saved. Romans 10 and 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, preacher, I'm the worst of some of these things. Can I say something to you? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, if it was man trying to change you, I'd say, well, let's just give up hope and let's go home. But it ain't man. It's God that's going to make an eternal change. And if you'll by faith trust him for salvation, you know what God will do? He'll born you into his family. He'll renew you by the Holy Ghost. God will indwell your heart. And God will live inside of you. And God will change you. He'll make you that new creature in Christ Jesus. If you're lost today, friend, you don't have to stay that way. God loves you. There's a person that cares for you. And there's a power to change who you are. May God bless you today.
Thank you, preacher. Wow, what a message. Hey, listen, folks. If you don't know Christ, today is your day. The Bible teaches us today. No, he said now is the accepted time. If you don't know Christ, he wants to be your Savior. He wants to come in your heart and in your life. He's already died at Calvary. He's already done everything that needs to be done so that you can know him of the free pardon, forgiveness of sin. And like Josh just told you, he'll make you a new creature. He'll make you a brand new creature in Christ. If you don't know him, why don't you bow your head and humble your heart and tell God that you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and tell him by faith the best you know how you receive him as your Savior. Pray a little prayer like this, would you? Something similar. It's not the words that will save you. God knows what you want in your heart. But if you'll pray something like this, say, Dear Jesus, right now, I know I'm a sinner, but I confess my sins. And right now, the best I know how, I receive Christ as my Savior. I believe he died at Calvary, and I believe he died for me. So help me to live for you. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to do what is pleasing in your sight. And thank you for saving me. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Well, if you pray a prayer like that, it'd be good to hear about it. Sure would. Appreciate Brother Josh. Appreciate the message. And appreciate the privilege of being able to share from the Word of God with you. Hope you have a blessed day. I know it is. Until the next time, may God keep.